And welcome to Community Kitchen. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking different ways not only save money, but to get some really lovely flavours into our foods, just to have a different look in the pantry and just see how we can change things around a little bit. Maybe just looking out for the budget, maybe extending the meals. So I thought that we'd stay along that line at the moment because I'm sorry, but the news just seems to be nothing but negative things. So let's be a bit positive here on Community Kitchen. Let's talk about encasing and toppities and doughs and batters because everyone loves a pie. It's just one of those things, but you don't have to stick to just your regular pies. And there's some beautiful different pastries you can make, some different ways to use pastries, different ways to use pancakes or even those lovely flatbreads. And they're just extending the meals. You often see different things on Pinterest and different social media. And putting them into play sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. But you know what? I think that's all part of the learning. So let's have a little chat about when you're doing different, say, for example, if you're making a pie, it's really good to, number one, maybe you can buy your pastry, but it's also a bit of fun to make it or try something a little bit different. I don't know about you, but I love phyllo pastry. It's not something I use all the time because you've got to be mindful of storing it if you don't use it all. And it's one of those things that sits in the fridge and you haven't used it and can dry out if you don't encase it properly. I find that if I have pastry of any sort, wrapping it up and putting it in a sealed plastic bag in the freezer, if you can freeze it, or just even wrapped up into the fridge is really good. But seal it off, especially with phyllo, because phyllo has lots of beautiful ways to just encase some great flavours. I love its flakiness. I love the fact that you can do layers. It's really good for sweet or savoury. Excellent for little mini muffin size pies. It's not as interesting cold, but you know what? It's not bad either. It's really good. Puff pastry is one of those things. I think if I'm making a pie, I like a short pastry on the bottom. And what I'm finding that works so much better, if you line your pastry dish with your short pastry, while you're getting your other stuff together, throw it in the oven for a while, and you'll find that pre-cooking that for a good, I don't know, 5-10 minutes until you start to see that it's starting to actually become a little bit cooked, gives a much, much better flavour than just putting a pre-rolled pastry in the bottom and then you're filling and then maybe the puff on top if you're making the classic idea of a pie that's going to be served for with a filling. But if you cook that off a little bit more, it's fantastic. But another way that I find is really good, and I did this a couple of weeks ago where they made a really good, a lot of vegetables in this particular one, but I just used the short that I make, which is a cup of flour, plain to a cup of self-raising. You get a little bit of puff, but it's not, a little bit of rise from the self-raising. But it holds really well. You can use it with wholemeal flour too. Nothing's nicer than a really good veggie pie with a good wholemeal flour. Excellent with sesame seeds on top. So, for example, if you're doing your spinach and your feta and all those yummy things with potatoes and extending it like that. And, of course, that goes really well with your phyllo. And, of course, you're making the Greek pie, which is just beautiful. So today we'll have a little bit of look at that. But also different toppings. If you want to make an open dish, whether it be the old style of a shepherd's pie, you can use your lentils and your veggies with that and put your either very thinly sliced potatoes or your leftover mash or pumpkin or sweet potato and just jazz it up a bit. You can use lots of different things. Multiple slices of different types of potato looks fantastic and it crisps up and it looks really good. But also remember to making your doughs. There's so many good batters you can make. If you're making a really nice stew or something like that, you can make a batter that sits on top or like a scondo that sits on top. And so that what you've got is you've got that lovely, tasty, whether you've put different cheeses or spices in that dough to sit on top of the mixture. And when that's cooked, it gives a really nice, lovely, lovely flavour and a bit of denseness to that because we want that warmth in the winter time. Another thing I love is dumplings. And, you know, they're not hard to make, and they're something that your kids can get involved with too. And you can buy the wrappers so cheap in the supermarket. I personally don't make them. I usually just buy my wrappers, and then I make all different types of mixtures. And if you've got a beautiful broth that you've made, whether it be veggies, seafood or chicken broth, and you make some of these great dumplings and just drop them in there and cook them, they are delicious. And you can do those with just a vegetable. I really like to use a pork mince because it does carry some really good flavors, same as chicken. But, you know, with the chicken, it's hard to work, I think, chicken. I think it's pork dumplings are really, really nice. Chopped up prawns are really good. And, of course, all the usual things like some lovely grated ginger, some chilies, some garlic. You might have some lemongrass, some coriander root. And all these things mixed up with just a little bit of egg white to bind, placed in the middle of the dumpling and sealed up. And when they're poached, they're just beautiful. Along with that, you can do your bean sprouts, you can do some Asian greens, and that just bulks that out. And it is just so warming. It's good for the soul. It really is to have a really good chicken soup. Talking to a woman today, and she makes a lamb's broth, and she always puts a barley in it. Once again, extending that out and giving that extra bulk and warmth. And of course, with all these things, it's good to have that base of some really good chopped up your carrot and your onions and goodies to cook that down and just give that flavor. It's all about getting the flavor. And these things are yummy. Now, when I talk about dumplings too, you can make the good old Jamie Oliver, where he uses 1 cup of coconut milk to 2 cups of self-raising flour. This is an excellent way to carry flavour once again. If you make a really good curry or something like that, these little dumplings sitting on top, make sure it's wet because it's going to pull in some of that moisture into that dumpling to cook, especially if it's sitting on top. But I make a Chinese braised beef, and that sitting on top of that is just absolutely brilliant. Be lovely with a satay dish too. And that would, once again, just give you that nice bulk up. Now, when you're thinking of pies, you often wonder, how am I going to make that carry forward? But if you get to know how to make a white sauce, very, very simple. And I do remind you to bring out the old whisk because you won't get lumps. But if you start off your butter and let that melt and then put in your plain flour to make that roux, you're going to have the basis then for thickening that sauce. You can do it in all different ways. You can add different flavours into that. But a basic white sauce is just excellent for something like if you're going to make a tuna or a salmon pie. Fantastic. Make a base for a chicken pie. If you're going to do it with your veggies, you know, you might be better off to consider using like something like a coconut milk if you're going to have a bit of a curry base. But that thickening will help just to keep that all together. And of course, a stock. A stock's always fantastic when you want to get that big flavor into your soups and stew bases, if you're encasing that into a pie. And of course, don't forget the good old fritter. These are things that, you know, we used years ago. We always have things like fritters. It was like the fridge cleanup, where you'd have these fantastic things. And of course, all you're doing is having a couple of cups of peeled or grated or chopped up or steamed veggies in with some cheese maybe, or a couple of eggs, bit of flour. Absolutely beautiful. I love them when you're doing things like halloumi, zucchini and baby peas. And that is a good meal for a child to have something like that. The fresh corn kernels and chili is lovely if you put that into a batter. And I'm talking fresh corn straight off the cob, so you still get that bit of texture. You can also make them just as a little tiny fritter. And then you can top them with different things. But you can change them around, and rather than using milk in your mixture, put your coconut milk in, then you can put some prawns, some coriander and chili, and just changing them all the time. And they're so easy. I mean, I think every kid in Australia probably would have had their good old corned beef. And I don't mind them like that, but I do like that extra flavour. And I like veggies in mine where you grate them up and you can really fill them out. And they're so delicious. But so the whole show today, we're going to talk about just extending in a different way, just by making those a little bit more interesting. Don't forget sausage rolls. They're great because whether or not you're doing those with grated zucchini, chopped up spinach, some eggs, some cheeses, a little bit of different spice through there, chopped up parsley, all these things cook into delicious roll-ups when you're encasing them in a puff pastry or putting them into a phyllo and baking them. Great winter warmers, especially when the kids are coming home early. I often hear people say about, you know, what can they eat when they get home from school? You're probably better off making them something like a really good fritter or a really good roll-up of some sort, because the little ones, sometimes that's their dinner because they're just so tired. So you're better off to give them something really good. And then roll-ups, of course, even with your pancakes, if you make an excellent pancake batter, and you can make it just with the normal ones, but you can use different, like a chickpea or a really nice and I've just lost the name of it, but I'll get there, a buckwheat. You know, a buckwheat's a wonderful carrier for a pancake because it's got a little bit of substance about it. And you can mash up bananas, you can put blueberries in it, top it with a really good yogurt, and what a delicious treat. And it carries well next day into the lunchbox. Maybe put a bit of honey in the mixture and the kids will really enjoy it. So there's some really good ideas how to extend once again, how to make things yummy, which is most important. So when we come back, I'll give you a few little ideas and tips on just how to put a few more interesting and yummy things on that kitchen table. You're with Annette on Community Kitchen, and I'll be back very shortly. And welcome back to Community Kitchen. Of course, we're talking encasing, topping, doughs and batters and dumplings and phyllo pastries, sausage rolls, roll-ups, where you can even use some really nice flatbreads. And I noticed the other day someone was making a dish out of just lining a baking pan with some flatbreads. I don't know how it was going to hold. I haven't done that one yet, but I do know that I had made little cases when I'm doing sort of catering or cooking like that, where I've lined the muffin tins with some little tiny wonton wrappers. They're fantastic. They really are nice and crunchy. And of course, you can do that also with some of these really great little taco holders and things like that. So just sort of think a little bit differently out of the square, I guess, to get some interesting stuff going. But, you know, when you think of rolling up and you think of that, I remember years ago crepes used to be such a fashion, and not many people make them, but of course you got the classic crepe Suzette. But once upon a time, you could go out and get a really nice seafood crepe, for example. And I know that I've had them where I've done them with a roasted pumpkin and a ricotta and do a blue cheese sauce and toasted pine nuts, and it just tastes gorgeous. But crepes are very different to pancakes because it's quite a runny mixture. And when you're doing something like a crepe, you use about 1 1/4 cups of flour to 1 1/2 cups of milk, 3 eggs, and a little bit of butter that you've melted, and a pinch of salt. And of course, you make the flour in, put in the flour in a bowl, make a well, add your milk and eggs, and you mix the flour into the wet ingredients, blend well, and then add the melted butter. But you leave it sit for about an hour, and that is the secret to it. And to make a crepe, you use a really generous tablespoon of batter, and that's all you need to do. So you can make a pile of crepes. Now, you can use crepes as a roll-up for a really good savoury mince if you're doing like a lasagna base. You can use that if you're doing, say, some roasted peppers and ricotta, and roll that up and make a really good bechamel sauce on top of that. These things don't have to be that complicated. So you could do some lovely roasted vegetables. Like while you're cooking dinner one night, you could do off some roasted capsicum and pumpkin and onions and garlic and goodies like that. Encase it in, whether it be fresh lasagna or fresh crepes, roll that up, a little bit of maybe tomato sauce down the bottom, and then put the crepes on top. You don't want them sticking, that's the only reason. And then you're pouring a bechamel sauce over and bake that off, maybe even a sprinkle of cheese on top. What a nice dish that would be. It'd be so lovely. You could do it with salmon, you could do it with tuna. All these things just are really good carriers to encase something and just make that a little bit more interesting to put on the table. But when I thought about the phyllo, I found some really excellent recipes, and one particular recipe is a dish that's a real classic, and it's called a chicken bastilla, and it's based on a Moroccan chicken pie, chicken and eggs, and it's got North African spices, and it's done in a chicken phyllo shell. It's sort of got a hint of sweetness in it, but at the same time, it's savoury. So I'll just go through the ingredients in this, but I just urge you to Google that and have a little look for that. So you're using flaked almonds, onions, olive oil, chicken thighs, Moroccan spice mix, a cinnamon quill. Of course, you've got your stock, beaten eggs, parsley, coriander, lemon juice, and phyllo pastry. Then when you serve this, you top it with the flaked almonds, the icing sugar, and the ground cinnamon. But it's a really delicate but interesting flavour. And that's a really interesting, different way to serve. So you've got those nice spices. And of course, when you think about the Middle Eastern spices, I always think they're quite warm and delicious. And that's with your cinnamon. And then even though you've got the Middle Eastern with maybe even that hint of chili in it, there's such a beautiful combination. Probably even a little bit of cumin in there. But, you know, the parsley and the coriander and the lemon juice, just lift that up, and then everything's delicious with flaked almonds, in my opinion. I love roasted flaked almonds, even if you're doing steamed beans, and put the flaked almonds over the top at the end with that, and maybe just a little bit of lemon rind. It just changes those things around to something that a little bit more delicious. Of course, you can use the phyllo to do a custard pie. They're always delicious to do that. And of course, don't forget the original that we had, which was the baklava, which is, if you ever go to a great, great shop, go and get a good slice of baklava or the lovely spanakopita with the spinach and the feta cheese. Oh, absolutely delicious. But you can also use it for lots of different yummies, even something like a tomato and ricotta tart. It's easy. You're just using your phyllo at the base. Set yourself up with your melted butter. And if you just fill that with ricotta and eggs, grated parmesan, some basil, some just nice roasted garlic, some cherry tomato, and cook that as an open flan, absolutely delicious. You've got that nice crunch of the phyllo and just some beautiful flavours going on there. Absolutely fantastic. That would be a delicious lunch, in my opinion, because everything's nice when you've got those yummy pastries happening. When I come back, we're going to talk about some more pies, but just a little bit different. You're with Community Kitchen. And welcome back to Community Kitchen. Today we're talking warmness. We're talking encasing, topping, doughs, batters, dumplings, crepes, phyllo pastry, some roll-ups, just some interesting things, great little holders. Now, nothing's nicer than, in my opinion, than a really good curried veggie pie. And this particular recipe is a vegetable pot pie. So they're filling, they've used olive oil, onion, potatoes, sweet potato, garlic, some curry powder, a bit of tomato paste just to give it that bit of oomph, and a milk base here. So we're talking about using that idea of milk. They've used the corn flour as a thickener. Now, that would change things around a little bit because when you're using a bechamel, of course, it's a thicker base, whereas your corn flour, it thickens up quite nicely. It thickens up very quickly too. But you can use your water even with that. It just brings everything together. And of course, putting some peas with that is excellent. So that just is a really lovely veggie idea. Of course, with that, you're just using a plain type of pastry, a short pastry for want of a better word. And that pastry I talked about before, where you're just using half plain flour and half self-raising, that is perfect with that. And say, for example, if you use a cup of plain and a cup of self-raising, you'd probably use about 125 grams of butter. And once again, just rubbing that through till fine breadcrumbs. And then an egg or even the cold water or lemon juice just to bind that. It rolls out so easy. It's so effortless to make. And it is a really nice pie to use. It's not too hard to deal with. So having a base like that, of course, a satay veggie pie. Now, just say, for example, if you're doing something like you're making your stock and you're poaching rather than just doing the casing, if you poach a whole chicken, then you've got that meat that you can actually use to make something like a satay chicken pie, for example, and extend that out with using lots of different veggies, because it's lovely to have vegetables in your pies, because I think it just gives that whole different flavour. So even with something like that, a bit different, but you can actually encase that in a nice whole meal, or you can encase that within the phyllo, or you can just do a pie base and then you can do your mashed sweet potato on top just to give that a different type. But I always think with the leftover pie, then you've got something for lunch the next day. And that's why I like the idea of some of these things being made up into roll-ups like like a log shape when you're making them. Make sure your mixture's cool before you start to freelance making a pie like that, so that you do have that leftover to take a nice big wedge of pie to your lunch or in the school box the next day. Kids love that. Even making them into a muffin size, so that you can actually have that small little pie for lunch. And of course, something like a samosa is really good for that. Once again, they're delicious and their fillings are not that expensive when you're using things like potatoes, onions, frozen peas, fresh coriander, some garlic, some ginger, and some curry powder. Now, that's, I think, a really good combination. And you can either do that as a little pie or as a triangle, once again, using the phyllo pastry. And I always think if you're going to go to the trouble to buy something like a phyllo or a different make the pastry, make it worth your while and do a few things out of that. And I think that these things just make life yummy. We talked about using lentils last week and just extending a lovely lentil pie. So once again, you've got the basis of your onion, your garlic, your ginger, your potatoes, your cauliflower, carrots, some curry powder. And then you can put your stock or coconut milk in there, your lentils and your peas. And that's just going to really extend and give you that extra bulk in there to make that a deliciousness. I think that these things are wonderful for winter, and I hope that we've inspired you to do a little bit of cooking. And next week, I might bring some yummy things just to put in the side of the lunchbox. So we'll look at some really good baking ideas, and maybe even look at the pies on a sweeter level. Have a great week. Enjoy your cooking. Don't forget that stock pot's fantastic for making some really good bases for all of your soups and stews and broths and goodies that you can enjoy in the winter period. And when you're doing your roasts or cooking, got your oven going, don't forget just to throw a few veggies in on that tray, because they become the basis, say, for example, for some of the pies we've talked about, a really good lunch, some roll-ups, some different ideas some really lovely roasted vegetables with a couple of eggs folded through it with some phyllo, in a phyllo pastry with some cheeses, some feta cheese, for example, and some finely shredded spinach is a great way just to make pastry even tastier. So until next time, enjoy your cooking.